Psalm 110, The Priest on the Throne. Psalm 110 is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, and for good reason. It does not begin with a feeling, but with an oracle, the Hebrew phrase Neom Yahedudabalabishumeng, as though David is allowed to overhear the throne room of heaven. The Lord says to my Lord. Jesus built a piercing question on that line in Matthew 22, 41-46. How can David's son also be David's Lord? Augustine loved that holy shock. The Messiah is not merely David improved. He is David's heir and David's superior. Notice too the place where everything happens, the right hand. In Psalm 109, the right hand was the place where the accuser stood. Here it becomes the place of enthronement. The place of accusation becomes the place of vindication. And the psalm turns the image again. The king sits at God's right hand, verse 1. Then the Lord stands at the king's right hand, verse 5. The Messiah is never alone in his war against evil. Heaven is not merely watching him. Heaven is with him. Verse 3 is one of the most difficult lines in the Psalms to translate, but its beauty is unmistakable. The Hebrew suggests something stronger than willing followers. Your people are free will offerings. This king does not create obedience by force. He awakens glad surrender. His people come in holy array, likely priestly language, and they appear like dew from the womb of dawn, fresh, quiet, heaven-given, beyond counting. Western readers often imagine power as noise, spectacle, and pressure. Psalm 110 imagines true messianic power as willing consecration. The church is strongest when she comes like dew, not smoke. Then comes the great wonder. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Long before Aaron, there was a priest-king in Salem, ancient Jerusalem, Genesis 14, 18-20. Excavations in the city of David remind us that Jerusalem was an old hilltop stronghold long before David, so this memory reaches deep into the land's history. In Israel, crown and altar were usually kept apart, and wisely so. Sinners turned holiness into a weapon. But Psalm 110 promises the one ruler in whom power and purity can finally meet without corruption. Hebrews 7 sees this clearly. Christ's priesthood rests not on ancestry, but on the oath of God. He rules by interceding and intercedes with royal authority. And then the final image. He will drink of the brook on the way. The conquering king stoops. He is not too exalted for thirst, dust, or weariness. Calvin saw here no pampered monarch, but a king still in the field. Christians cannot miss the shadow of the suffering Christ who passed through the Kidron and into sorrow before being lifted up. The head now raised high is the head once bowed low. Do not ask for a Christ who comforts but does not rule or rules but does not bleed. Psalm 110 gives us the only Saviour large enough for the world. Suggested cross-references, Genesis 14, 18-20, Matthew 22, 41-46, Acts 2:34-36, Hebrews 7, 1-28, Zechariah 6, 12-13, Romans 12, 1. Hymn suggestion, the head that once was crowned with thorns. Prayer. Lord Jesus, David's Lord and our eternal priest, take your rightful place over every rival in us. Make us your willing people, holy and glad. Teach us to trust your intercession, bow under your reign, and follow you on the way until you lift up our heads in your kingdom. Amen.